after Mass. I'm not going to have a machete out in the parking lot, like, ready for you if you need me to cut something off. That's not what Jesus is saying in the gospel. He's using his exaggeration to make a very important point. And I think that point, even if it's not for us to cause bodily harm, is actually as radical and as challenging as talking about cutting off one of our hands or one of our feet if it causes us to sin. Because for Jesus, his view of the world is very simple. Not always easy to do, but I think it is relatively simple. That all he's trying to do every day of every moment is to say yes to being united to God the Father and no to anything that would separate him from God. Saying yes to the will of the Father and being united to him and no to anything else that would draw him away from our Heavenly Father. Because for Jesus, that's what sin is. He understands sin so well that it's what separates us from God. It's not just breaking of rules. It's not just something we do out of weakness and that we give into. It's not even just bad consequences of our choices or actions. It's bad things that happen. But it's instead that choice to turn away from our Heavenly Father. To do something we know that he has told us not to do, or something we know that will lead us not to love him or our neighbor. Jesus understands that very acutely. He understands the story from Genesis chapter 3 of the fall of Adam and Eve, of that first original sin. But again, it wasn't about just them breaking rules or about them making a mistake, but it was their conscious choice to turn away from our Heavenly Father. To say, Lord, we cannot trust that you will provide for us. Instead, we're going to grasp after that power and the ability to choose for ourselves. So the gospel today is Jesus saying, if anything leads you to start making that choice, to turn away from God and trust in something else, we'll get rid of it. None of that is worth the eternal consequence of sin, right? And that is hell. And when Jesus says, it would be better for you to enter into life maimed or without an eye or crippled than to enter into Gehenna, it's because he sees that our choices here on earth, whether to follow God or to trust in something else and to sin, right, that those have eternal consequences. That ultimately that results in either our perfect union with God in heaven or complete and total separation from him for all eternity in hell. So he uses our bodies, right, to illustrate that point that none of that's as important as being united to God rather than sinning or being separated from him. I think for our lives, there might be a better way to drive this home. Right, we could say if your iPhone causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it out. Be better for you to enter into heaven without an iPhone than to go to hell with an iPhone. Right? If idle entertainment on television or Netflix or YouTube videos causes you to sin, cut it off. It'd be better for you to go in your life without those things rather than enter into eternal separation from God. Then again, I'm not suggesting this is easy for us or for Jesus' disciples that heard this, but it should make it very clear where Jesus stands in terms of sin. That it's not just a little mistake, it's not something that we should look past, but something that has eternal consequences. Something that can lead us to be perfectly separated from the love of God. And so because Jesus sees that so clearly, his life is simple. Again, not easy, but it is simple. Every day, seek to choose the things that unite me to God. And let me get rid of anything that doesn't. Because it's not that important. It's not as important as that relationship with God, that union that I desire with him. And that might cause all sorts of changes. I'm aware of several friends that have decided to give up their smartphone or regular access to the internet. I know Emmanuel and Cree Pena, who used to be parishioners here, are now doing the Family Mission Company and going throughout the world to preach the gospel. They have to do a year-long technology fast. And Cree was just telling me a few weeks ago when they were here, she said, you know, I was kind of looking forward to it, but you don't realize how convenient it really is. How convenient it is to just be able to call somebody or text somebody right when you need to send an email, to check something real quick on your phone. She says, I'm glad we're doing it, but it's a lot less convenient. It's convenient to have the phone in my pocket. Right? That sometimes we have to give up that convenience to choose to unite ourselves perfectly to God. Sometimes we might have to choose discomfort, or we might have to choose things that aren't ideal from our perspective. But to do that so that we can be united to God is a good thing, so that we can choose to follow him. I think that's why at the beginning of this gospel and in our first reading, Jesus and Moses both point out, if someone's not working against us, they're working for us. That again, they see the world in this very simple way. That we want to support and augment the things that are doing God's will and just get rid of the other things. So it sounds like the Israelites are all kind of worked up into a tizzy in the first reading because Eldad and Medad, they weren't at the meeting. Supposed to be a meeting with the 70 elders who are going to receive the Spirit. There are only 68 people there. I don't know if Eldad and Medad didn't get the memo. You know, maybe they set their alarm. They slept through it. I don't know what they were doing. They just got busy. I don't know. But they weren't there. And so the Israelites are going, well, what do we do? Do we have to get all the 70 back together again and redo this whole thing? Do we need Eldad and Medad to show up to an extra training? You know, we'll get them taken care of. And they can start doing the things. And Moses simply says, God wants all of his people to receive the Spirit. He wants all of them to be prophets. So if it's just that Eldad and Medad weren't here, but they've received a Spirit, good. Don't get in the way. He has this simple view of doing God's will and ignoring or rejecting the things that don't. Similarly, in the Gospel, John and the disciples are saying, well, there's somebody doing this good work of driving out demons, but Jesus, they're not with us. They're not following us. What do we do with that? Do we need to stop him? And Jesus, in a very simple way, sees if they are doing good, don't stop them. And maybe we need to correct them later if something goes off the rails, but right now, they're doing God's will and they're united to him. Great. All we need to do is correct and change, reject those things that cause us to sin or be separated from God. So brothers and sisters, how do we start to have this same simple perspective? That in our daily life, we can start to see there are ways that we can choose to be united to God or ways that we can choose to separate ourselves from him in sin. I think, again, the answer is simple. It's daily prayer. That our prayer is meant to be the thing that not only brings our lives and presents it to God, presents our cares and concerns for the world around us, but prayer is actually meant to change our hearts, to make us to see the world more like God sees it in this simple and profound way. The Catechism says prayer is the life of a new heart. That it's through prayer that our hearts become changed from a stony, selfish heart focused just on what we need and desire into a heart that beats, one that's loving and willing to give itself for others. That it's little by little by, yes, again, presenting our prayers to God, but especially, I think, by hearing his voice in prayer, that we start to have our hearts be changed. Right? That we can come to him and say, Lord, I really didn't know what to do with this situation in my family today. I tried my best, but how should I respond when that happens? How should I respond when I see a family member doing something that's harmful to them or leading them away from you? How do you want me to respond when I see someone in need at work or as I drive by them? Right? That in that way, we actually start to listen for the voice of God. We start to let him be the one that changes our hearts so that our lives can become more simple. We can see day by day, little by little, that he actually wants to give us many choices that unite us to him and to reject and cut off those things that do not. Catechism continues, but we tend to forget about him who is our life and our all. So the spiritual fathers insist that we remember God and that we pray, quote, more often than we draw a breath. It's from St. Gregory of Nazianzen, that we pray so much that every time we breathe, we know that God is not only with us, but that he's giving us opportunities to be united to him. That maybe there are things that we can turn away from so that we can more closely trust him and know him. But what do? We get caught up in all sorts of other things, in circumstances and in human things like John and the other apostles and all the Israelites do. I'm worried about, well, did I do it right? Was this person in the way? Was that all like it was supposed to be, God? And he just wants us to be more simple, to be simple in listening for his call and his invitation, to be simple in recognizing those things that lead us to sin and separate us from God, but also those things and choices that lead us to be united to him. But it's through that daily consistent prayer, that daily not only speaking but listening to him, that actually changes our hearts and lets us have that same simple perspective of the world. So brothers and sisters, let us pray that through our daily prayer, we can be given a new heart. That we can see the world in a very simple way in black and white as Jesus does. To see that there are things that we need to cut off and get rid of, because they're causing us to sin and be separated from our Father. But also to see that there are choices every single day that can unite us back to him. Ways that he wants to guide us slowly to the foot of the cross. So that like Jesus did with great confidence, no matter what goes on around us or what circumstances come upon us, we will always trust in him. We will trust not that we will be led to the gates of hell and perfect isolation from him, but that through our daily lives, we can be led to a union with God. A union not just here on the earth, but that concludes for all eternity in heaven.